to the Humanity Church Podcast, a place where meaningful conversations around living by faith, being known by love, and becoming a voice of hope are shared with the world every week. We hope that you enjoy this podcast and will join us live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, online, or at the historic Fox Theater in beautiful downtown Pomona. We also host humanity groups that meet all throughout the city and online to continue the conversation and support you in your ongoing spiritual journey. Find one near you by visiting humanitychurch.com. If you would like to financially support this podcast or the ongoing work at Humanity Church, you can text any donation amount to 84321 and give directly from your phone. Now, here's this week's podcast.
My breathtaking moment with God was when both of my kids were born.
My breathtaking moment with God
was when I was driving a car.
But on my breathtaking moment with God, I realized that it's not in the big grandiose moments, but in the small.
My breathtaking moment with God was the first time I heard Him speak to me.
My breathtaking moment with God is when He freed me from perfectionism and performance, and now I just feel like I can carry.
My breathtaking moment with God happened when I was questioning my worth and questioning.
My breathtaking moment with God was not only did He free me of my addiction that I had for over 11 years, but He walked with me and has kept me sober for over 5 years now.
My breathtaking moment with God.
My breathtaking moment with God.
Fact on my breathtaking moment with God.
My breathtaking moment with God.
My breathtaking moment with God.
My breathtaking moment with
God.
My breathtaking
moment with
God. Breathtaking.
My breathtaking.
My breathtaking.
My breathtaking.
My breathtaking moment with God.
God had healed me, and my breathtaking moment was I realized I wanted to live, and that I knew I would be alive next year, and that God healed me from depression.
We thank you for this space, for this moment that we get to celebrate life together. I pray that this morning, as you've already been with us, I pray that you would infuse us with your spirit, infuse us with a sense of hope and freedom and something new today. God, I thank you for this space that we get to know that there is hope available even in the midst of darkness and hopelessness. May you convince us of that today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's something that I absolutely know to be true about you. It's something I know to be true about me. It's actually true about the thousands of people I've ever coached or pastored or engaged in leadership conversation with. And here's the secret, is that you long for a beautiful life. Every single one of us do. That some of you may be very aware of it. Some of you are here today and you're like, yes, I long to live a beautiful life. Some of you may be less aware of it. That we long for a breathtaking existence. That we long to tell a story that is so beautiful with our lives that we don't want to waste a moment. And it calls us into this life that would take our breath away. And we see glimpses of it here and there. And it shows up stronger at times than other times. I remember the first time I went to Africa, I was invited to this small remote village in Malawi. And we got there, and I got off the bus, and I found out later that I was the first white person that they'd ever seen, so you could imagine their shock when I pulled out of the bus, because I'm not exactly a darker white, I'm like see-through. And this elder woman in the village invited me to join her on a tour, and she, through the translator, said, just ask any questions that you have. We'd love to show you everything. And they were so proud to show me their village. And I asked about their clothes and the significance that it had. And she shared with me about how there were different clothings that individuals wore as they grew older and they changed. I asked them about their jewelry that they wore and how it signified certain elements in their village. I asked them about how things were laid out and how there had been decades of thought that had gone into that. And I remember going into her small hut that had hardly anything. In fact, we were there to put a water well for the first time because they were having to walk almost 20 miles to get water every week. And they had nothing. And I walked into her hut and she was so proud to show me the bed that she slept on and the area that she cooked with. And I asked her all these questions. And I saw on the side of her hut a row of flowers that were dried, hanging side by side. And I asked her the cultural significance of this. And she laughed at me. And she said, because they're beautiful. And I remember thinking in that moment, even in the midst of survival, there's this longing to create beauty. There's this longing to have something bigger than what we can see and touch and smell and hear. And it's fascinating that we, even as humans, keep telling the same stories over and over and over again, whether it's through music or film or poetry or literature. We tell these stories of hope coming out of hopelessness, of light coming out of the darkness, of something beautiful coming out of despair. We never get bored of it. We never grow tired of it. We create communities. We build families. We create empires. We will work ourselves to the bone at the possibility of having this breathtaking life. It's as if it's the song that our souls long to sing. But it's also what drives us insane, isn't it? It's also what drives us crazy at times. It's this pursuit of this breathtaking life that can so often leave us out of breath. See, for many of us, we spend our days frantically longing and hoping to believe that this is actually a possibility. But for many of us, this breathtaking life seems so out of reach. And for many of us, it's easy to grow cynical from the pursuit of a beautiful life because we have all kinds of evidence as to why it's not true for us. We've loved and we've lost, we've risked and we've failed, we've given it all and we're left empty at the end. And so it's easy to say, I don't think this is for me. See, I wonder how many of us have actually just given up on the pursuit completely and said, this isn't for me. I might as well settle for what's acceptable and available to me. But what if this longing for a breathtaking life, to tell a beautiful story, was not actually a design flaw that we needed to work out of our system? But what if it was actually a feature of humanity? And that if we pursued it fully, that we might find exactly what our souls are longing for. See, it's fascinating to me that the same word that we get the word breath from is the same word that we get the word spirit from. That the word pneuma is the same. That a breathtaking life is also a spirit life. And it's fascinating that in the beginning of the scriptures, when God creates humanity, after he speaks the sun and the moon and the stars and the water and the birds and the animals and the fish into existence, in Genesis 2:7 it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." I love that when God created everything in the world, he spoke it into existence. I think that there's such power in our words. And God spoke the sun, and there was the sun, and he spoke out water, and there was water, and he spoke out fish, and there were fish. But when it came to creating humanity, it wasn't enough to speak us into existence. He had to breathe us into existence. See, it was his exhale that transformed dust into humanity. And he longed to breathe into our lungs, to be face to face with us from the beginning. It was not enough just to speak us into existence, that he had to breathe himself into us. See, could it be that every inhale is a reminder of the God of the universe has exhaled into us? And it's what drives us to live this breathtaking life. And maybe this is actually part of the dilemma, because I've noticed that for myself and for so many of us, that when we go looking for this beautiful existence, this story that our lives were designed to tell, that so many times we go searching through all the externals, that we think if we can fix what's out there, then maybe our life would be beautiful. Ever been there? Yeah. We think to ourselves, oh, if I can just get the career working, then my life's gonna be beautiful, because then I'll have money, and then I'll be able to buy, and then I'll be able to do. Or we find ourselves saying, if I just get the guy, if I just get the girl, if I just get the family, if I just get the body, if I just get the lifestyle. And here's the problem, is that we actually get it sometimes. Yes. And then we find out that it's not enough, or it wasn't exactly what we were hoping for, or it didn't actually provide what we were longing for. And everything we do with what is happening here oftentimes leaves us empty. And maybe God's actually calling us into something different. That the beautiful life that we are longing for actually has nothing to do with what's out there, but it has everything to do with what's taking place inside of us. And maybe we just miss it at times. See, in the beginning of this guy, John, who followed Jesus around for several years, in the beginning of his writings about Jesus' life, he says this in John 1:1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives life to everyone coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." See, when I read this passage, I think, how on earth could it be that God walked among us and talked among us and lived among us and we missed it? How could it be that he was right in front of us, even declaring, "Hey, I'm here," and people all around him missed it? It says that he was even speaking the language and the people could not hear it. See, Jesus came once again to show us how to catch our breath. He was here elevating the human spirit, elevating the story that we were designed to tell, showing us the way to this breathtaking life. And we just refuse to inhale. Yeah. See, it's easy to look at this moment in history and think, what was wrong with them? How could they miss it when Jesus was with them, literally doing miracles in front of us? But I'm not sure that we're all that different. See, I mean, what if God was all around us, exhaling into our souls this abundant life of beauty, and we were more committed to living our lives deflated in the process? And then the despair sets in because we feel like we're left breathless. See, the scriptures actually say that all of us have fallen short of the beauty and the elevation that God is calling us into, that our brokenness and our hopelessness run so deep that we are incapable of actually producing the life that we are longing for. And it can feel like this is all there is. It can feel futile to even try. And I know that some of you in this room are here because you've lost your breath. And you're hoping for something that will once again revive your soul. But we know inside of us that this cannot be all that there is. There is something inside of us, no matter how much we try to push it down, no matter how much we try to ignore it, no matter how much we try to push it to the side, there is something inside of us that still longs for that life that is so profoundly beautiful. Yeah. I used to think the question that our soul was asking is a breathtaking life possible? But I actually think that's the wrong question. See, because who cares if there's a God who is capable of granting us a breathtaking life, but is not interested in intervening?
Right. Yeah, that's
good. See, I think the deeper question that we ask ourselves is, am I worthy of a breathtaking life? Am I worthy of telling this story with my existence? Am I worthy of using every moment of my days to create something so profound? And what I love about Easter is that this moment, not just in history, but it echoes through human narratives, it answers that question for us. See, because Isaiah writes this about this moment in Easter. In Isaiah 52, he says, out of emptiness he came, like a tender shoot from rock-hard ground. He did not look anything or anyone of consequence. He had no physical beauty to attract our attention. He was so despised and forsaken by man. This man of suffering, grief's patient friend, as if he was a person to avoid, to be looked the other way. He was despised, forsaken, and we took no notice of him. Yet it was our suffering he carried, our pain and distress, our sickness to the soulness. We just figured that God had rejected him, that God was the reason he hurt so badly, but he was hurt because of us. He suffered so, our wrongdoing wounded and crushed him. He endured the breaking that made us whole. The injuries he suffered became our healing. We have all wandered off like shepherdless sheep, scattered by our aimless striving and endless pursuits, and the Eternal One laid on him, the silent sufferer, the sins of us all. And in the face of such oppression and suffering, silence, not a word of protest, not a finger raised to stop it. Like a sheep to a shearing, like a lamb to be slaughtered, he went on, oh so quietly, oh so willingly. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away from this generation. Who was there to complain? Who was there to cry foul? He was, after all, cut off from the land of the living, smacked and struck, not on his account, because of how many people, my people, disregarded the lines between right and wrong. They snuffed out his life. And when he was dead, he was buried with the disgraced, in borrowed space among the rich. Even though he did no wrong or word or deed, yet the Eternal One planned to crush him all along, to bring him to grief, this innocent servant of God. When he put his life in sin's dark place, in the pit of wrongdoing, this servant of God will see his children and have his day prolonged. For in his servant's hand, the Eternal's deepest desire will come to pass and flourish. See, it's sometimes only when we lose our breath that we can find it. Sometimes it's only in the midst of death that life can be found. And life is so confusing like that, isn't it? Easter is certainly confusing like that. Like a God who would send his own son to earth to walk among us and talk among us, to bring us life, and ends up dead. That he would come to exhale life into us, but ended up being wrongfully accused and whipped and beaten and mocked and spat upon and put a crown of thorns on his head and nailed to a cross and executed, and he breathed his last breath. And it appears in this moment that once again, the ending of the human story is tragedy. It's another "see, I told you so" moment in the narrative of the human story, and it begs us to believe this idea that a breathtaking life is just a nice idea. Why try? Do not give your faith. Do not allow yourself to give hope, and never allow yourself to breathe, because you might be crushed in the process. No wonder why it's so easy to be cynical. See, the problem is that so many of us get stuck in the middle of the story. We get stuck in the moment of death. We get stuck where it seems like all hope is lost and there is no Savior coming for us. We get stuck, and that's where the lifelessness starts to set in. Until this moment in human history. See, in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1, it says, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen.'" Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day and raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back to the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen laying by themselves. He went away wondering to himself what had happened. See, these women had been following Jesus for their entire existence here, and now they follow him to his grave where his body lies to do the only thing they knew how to do, business as usual in this moment, that the possibility for this breathtaking life that he has promised was gone, and now all they could do was make despair look good, to put perfume to cover up the stench of death, not too far from what you and I do sometimes on a daily basis, with our own despair and anxiety and hopelessness. But they were met with this unexpected moment, an empty tomb and an angel declaring, "He is not here, he is risen." And everything changes in this moment. See, here's the wild thing. Right after this angel said, "He is not here, he is risen," he says, "Don't you remember what he was telling you all along?" I mean, for years, Jesus had been talking about, "Hey, I am here and I am coming to give you the abundant life. That I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Whoever follows me will find life. You can destroy me, but I will be back. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world." And they had forgotten it. And it seemed in this moment like all hope had vanished. And it's easy to forget when the circumstances are crying out death. It's easy to forget when this is all there is, that we go searching through the graveyards to find some type of life, and when the anxiety and the depression and the hopelessness and the despair hits, we forget everything that's available to this. But at this sight of the empty tomb, it says, then they remembered his words. And I imagine in that moment, it shot through them to their core. It begged them to once again revive the hope that had been lost inside of them, waking them up from this amnesia of despair that had overtaken them, once again elevating them to the possibilities of this breathtaking life. See, on this day, on Easter, it is begging you to remember. It is begging to you to remember the longing that has been in your soul from the moment that you were born. It is begging to you to remember that all of creation is crying out that life has come for you. It is begging you to remember that you were made for a breathtaking life and that the God of the universe has come and he has died and he has come back to life so that you could have it. He has come so that you could fully experience life here and now. That God is saying, would you remember today? Because you were made for a breathtaking life. You were made for something so profound. And from that moment, he has kept exhaling into humanity. He has kept breathing out into us a constant breath of hope and love and freedom. That when you connect to him, this sense of overwhelming tragedy that this is all there is, it vanishes. And he keeps elevating See, never forget that we are in the middle of a cosmic rescue plan where the God of the universe has come for us with every breath and every sunrise and sunset, with every raindrop, with every color and piece of art and piece of music and beauty and cup of coffee and conversation with friends. It is declaring to you that hope is available here and now, because the God of the universe wants to live inside of you with every breath. He longs to connect to you at the core of who you are. And the fact that one day you will breathe your last breath, it has lost its sting, because his exhale will last through eternity. Jesus invites you to have your breath taken away by this moment, because he is the God who is breath-giving. And it's all a gift, freely given through Jesus. When I was a kid, I loved to play with pinwheels. They're kind of fun, right? I love pinwheels, and they're fun. You know, they're kind of silly and cheap, which is why we got them. But, you know, I know other churches are bribing people to come with iPads and petting zoos. We have pinwheels, right? But you know, at the end of the day, this is just a piece of plastic. And it's designed to create beauty. I mean, if you put this in your yard, or if you set this outside, or if you move it around, that it will actually move, and it creates this sense of movement and wonder and something so beautiful. But here's the reality, is that by itself, it's just a piece of plastic. It's incapable of actually being anything more than just a piece of plastic. It cannot move on its own. It cannot create the beauty that it was designed to make. But the moment it allows itself to be moved by the wind, it becomes beautiful. It creates a sense of wonder and awe that when we breathe on it, its movement creates a sense of wonder. See, I wonder today if you would allow yourself to be moved by the breath of God. See, in many ways, we are a lot like these pinwheels, that we are incapable of creating our own movement, our own beauty, our own sense of awe and wonder without his breath, without his spirit moving through us. And without it, we're not bad. We're just kind of dead. And when he comes and we allow him to breathe on us, everything changes. And Jesus actually makes it incredibly simple. This is where I think religion messes things up, because it adds all kinds of rules and regulations to it. But in 1 John 5:11, it says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son does not have life." See, I think sometimes we think of Jesus like a UPS man who came to like drop off a package of life for us and then died and went back to heaven. And even Christianity has perpetuated this idea that all you need to do is pray a prayer and you're in, and then he gets to go do his thing and you get to go do your thing. And then we find ourselves wondering, where is the power of this breathtaking life that I long for? See, Jesus is not actually interested in dropping anything off on your life. He's not interested in you saying some incantation and then going off by yourself. He's actually longing to live in you, for you to follow him, to once again step into that moment where he breathes his life into you and he lives face to face with you. And he is the only hope for the breathtaking life that your soul is longing for. And I love that it's so simple. It just says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. See, if you don't have Jesus, it's not that you're a bad person. You're just not fully alive. And you're incapable of stepping into the life right here and now that you are designed to live, and in eternity. And this is the gift that Jesus brings us on Easter. As he says, will you allow me to breathe into you, to resuscitate your soul, so that you could step into the breathtaking life that you were designed to live. This is his invitation 2,000 years ago with an empty tomb, but it's his invitation to you right here and right now. Would you just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? I know that some of you in this room have been longing for that breathtaking life. You've been longing for a life that is bigger and more beautiful and more bold than the life that you have right now. And some of you have been doing everything you can to find that life, to get that life, to have that life. And I know for some of you, you are in here exhausted, breathless, hopeless. And Jesus wants to come and once again breathe into your soul. He wants to revive you, to step back into relationship with you, to answer that question that has been in your soul from the moment you were born, am I worthy of a breathtaking life? For some of you, I know we get to see you once a year on Easter, and maybe you're here and someone invited you and you recognize like, man, there was a time where maybe I prayed a prayer or I connected to this Jesus person, but I don't see this breathtaking life that's available. And maybe today is your opportunity to reconnect to the God who longs to exhale into your life and bring you back. And it's as simple as connecting to the Son, saying, I want to step into relationship with you. He's done all the work. He just longs for you to inhale today. And with eyes closed, no one looking around, if that's you today and you're like, I want to connect to Jesus, maybe for the first time or maybe for the first time in a long time, would you just raise your hand? Say, I want to connect to Jesus today. Awesome. All over the room. Who else? Who else today says, I want to follow Jesus today? Awesome. If you're online, you can just type Jesus in the chat. But I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. I just want you to pray, Jesus, I give you my life. Amen. Amen. And this morning, if you prayed that simple prayer, I want you to know that Jesus is exhaling into your life, that he is reviving your soul, and that he is calling you into the breathtaking narrative, the journey, the story that you have been longing for from the beginning. So Jesus, we thank you for Easter. We thank you that you are the answer that our soul's been longing for. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. We hope that it was a meaningful experience and look forward to having you listen in next week for another conversation from the heart and soul of Humanity Church. You can find more information about our community at www.humanitychurch.com.